What's up, everyone? Welcome to the Fancast. My name is Eric Davis. Joining me, as always, is Sean O'Connell. And Sean, this is a big, coming off the holiday weekend, this big news. 50 Shades of Grey has cast their two leads. This is all anyone is talking about right now because the book was a bit of a phenomenon. This is big, right? We should be excited about this.
A bit of a phenomenon. I remember walking through like a Costco, and the book section was just like that recognizable cover with the necktie and that weird sort of gray scale. And apparently, there are like four other novels in this series. I had no idea that this author cranked out that many copies, but obviously, Hollywood's jumping on it. They sense an audience. They sense a potential franchise. And so, yeah, I think we've all been sort of sitting around waiting to see if they were going to go with splashy names and recognizable talents, or if they're going to go with complete newcomers and go in that direction. I think they sort of landed right in the middle. They casted Dakota Johnson and Charlie Hunnam, who, you know, they've been in a few projects that you would recognize, but I don't think anyone who, you know, walked up to the water cooler in the office today and said, "Hey, did you hear Dakota Johnson got 50 Shades of Grey?" The first question they're going to be like, okay, who is that? You know, sort of fill me in a little bit. And Charlie Hunnam, he was in Pacific Rim, but again, he's not one of these guys. He's on Sons of Anarchy. He's not one of these guys that people just sort of know. I think this is giving him a pretty good chance to maybe prove themselves as actors being able to carry a franchise.
Yeah, you know, and it calls the people have said, is it a controversial cast? You know, that's like the big question right now.
Right.
I've been asked. I've spoken about. People have asked me questions about 50 Shades of Grey casting already, and you know, is it controversial? You know, I feel like whenever you have big, rabid fan bases, no matter who you cast in a movie that appeals to that fan base, they're not going to like it, or you're going to feel this majority of people not liking it. And I think, you know, some have compared this to Ben Affleck with the Batman.
Right.
And I think that people hated on Ben Affleck as Batman because they have this prior knowledge, this prior experience of Ben Affleck that they're tapping into when they kind of spew their hatred. With these two, there is no knowledge, as Sean's dog barks in the background. But you know what? It's more that North Carolina flavor that I like from you. But you know what? I think that people don't have this prior knowledge with the two of them. And that's why they're kind of uncomfortable with it.
But that's going to work in the movie's favor. It's hard to tell. I hope that what happens is that they read for the parts and they were the right people to cast. And, you know, they definitely didn't go with, you know, you heard all this initial reaction stunt casting. Oh, get Kristen Stewart, you know, because the Twihards are going to show up and, you know, cast. I'm trying to think of there was a guy who everybody was sort of
clowning. Chris Evans, I think, was
yeah,
on that list.
Someone who has a name and someone who has a following. And it almost feels like this project didn't need that because the book is already the one that's coming with the following. And so I like the idea that they went with people who weren't the easy choice and definitely, you know, they don't come with all of this baggage. And I think that that's a cleaner and easier way to get into this potential franchise.
Yeah, I think when you have a book that you haven't seen any of these characters yet in any kind of form, not on TV or in a movie, I think sort of choosing actors like this is fun because it lets you be surprised. It lets you discover someone new rather than go in with this predisposed, well, I've seen Kristen Stewart and I know what I'm going to get. You know, they don't really know what they're going to get. And so, like, I like that. I like how you're sort of going in blind and these people are just familiar enough where, you know, it passes by. They're not complete unknowns. We have some sort of reference point that we can go to. And specifically with her, I like the stuff that I've seen from her. I liked Ben and Kate. That was canceled, the television show. I think on that she showed how she's kind of this charismatic girl next door. And then in The Social Network, she has this one scene opposite Justin Timberlake in her underwear. But you know what? She looks sexy. She held her own with Timberlake, and she did fun. And I always remembered that girl from that scene.
Is she the girl in the Stanford t-shirt?
She is. She's the girl in that scene.
I know exactly who you're talking about.
In Justin Timberlake's intro scene in The Social Network, he wakes up next to this girl, doesn't remember her name. That's Dakota Johnson. And it's a fun scene, and she's fun in that movie. So I look at Anastasia Steele, I look at the character, I say, they need someone who's the sexy girl next door.
Right.
The girl that can play innocent and then slowly but surely get her freak on. And I think that's this girl. And, you know, when they cast these parts, I think a lot of these fans that are against it have to understand that, these are risky roles for an actor. They're exposing a lot of themselves. This is a very high-profile project. I could see maybe them having gone to more familiar people and them turning it down, not because the material's bad, but because it's a risk that you're taking in exposing yourself.
And yet, right after the casting announcements, Twitter does what Twitter does, and everybody reacts violently with, all of this, not hot enough reaction. And that made me laugh because, fanboys get a lot of grief for their knee-jerk reactions to any type of casting with superhero movies, and there's a Star Wars rumor that's floating around about someone who might be part of J.J. Abrams' universe, and the reaction is always heated, whether it's positive or negative. And it was kind of comforting to see that, 50 Shades of Grey has this also, and when they put out a casting announcement for something, for a project quite like that, which you wouldn't ever call like fanboy type, but there was a very heated and passionate response from people who love the books and have the picture of what these people should look like in their minds. And of course, nobody is ever going to live up to that sort of image that you have of Anastasia Steele or of Christian Grey. But if you're trying to tell me that these two actors aren't hot enough, then I don't know what universe you live in. You must look like an Adonis, some type of god, if you can sit on Twitter and reject these people as saying not hot enough for the roles that I would want to have filled.
Yeah, I mean, look, at the end of the day, they have to play real people, and you don't want to get someone that's just strikingly gorgeous.
Right.
That's all you're focusing on. I mean, we're not casting just a porn here. As much as people kind of look at this as as a mommy porn.
A little, maybe just a little.
Well, at the end of the day, they want this to be a franchise. They want this to carry into, 3-4 movies. So you're going to want to create characters that are real people that you can relate to as extreme of the situations they're putting themselves in. You still want to create real people that you can relate to. And I really like Dakota Johnson in that sense. I think she kind of looks like a very naturally pretty woman, and I think that it plays great to the character. And Charlie Hunnam, I mean, you look at the, first of all, you Google his name, you'll see a picture of his six-pack abs. I think a lot of fans pictured the character with brown hair, maybe, and that's why. I'm curious to see if they give him brown hair for it. But you know what? Not hot enough. I think if that's your critique, then you know what? You got to go complain about something else, because
maybe they were just writing on my Twitter page. Maybe they were writing about me.
Probably.
You're just not hot enough.
Probably. But you know what? Let's segue into another question with this movie, because what do you do here? Do you, I think if you just did it page by page by the book, you're looking at an NC-17 rating.
Right.
And so Focus Features is in this interesting position, because Focus Features, I feel like they deal with limited releases. It feels like if this wasn't based on this giant, massive book, they would maybe go for the NC-17, put it in a few theaters, and then slowly expand it. But you would think that this is a film that you want to put on as many screens as possible, just because so many people are familiar with the book. And then in that case, you're saying, okay, then they're going to have to make an R-rated version of it.
Yeah.
What do you think they should do?
I think they're going to have to tone it down, because you're right. This isn't a platform release. This isn't, Shame by Steve McQueen, where you can be uncompromising and present anything that you want to present in order to get the important message across. I think they have to go mainstream, and they have to be able to get it into the theater chains that aren't going to complain. There are certain theater chains that won't even carry NC-17 features, and obviously Focus is going to want, they picked up this title for the ability to have a a big hit on their hands, and you have to put that into screens, into multiple theaters in order to get that money back. But you're right. The catch-22 of that is that if you water down the material, you're not going to deliver the type of story that they want. So it's going to be up to the filmmaking team to walk that line between being edgy enough and being dangerous enough to satisfy the book's audience and keeping it not clean, but just safe enough that theater chains don't complain. But I think that the exhibitors have to realize what a recognizable I mean, if the book can be carried anywhere, then the movie should be able to play. And there are restrictions you can put in place to make sure that people don't get into it. But I think that they're going to have to go for the R. I don't think they can go NC-17. And I think that they have to make it accessible to a larger audience to get back on their investment.
See, I don't know. If I'm making this movie, I say you go for it. I say you shoot it all. You shoot it the way it's in the book, everything, every little nitty-gritty. And then you kind of – but you make it so you can cut. And so this way you kind of see what you can get away with. And if you have to cut it down, if you have to trim an extensive amount to get to that R rating, I think you leave yourself that room to do that. But okay. Then I think you also – well, you want – I think with this film you want an unrated cut. Because an unrated cut on this film could be an extra pot of gold.
Yeah.
Just sitting there. I mean, look, the studios are double dipping on the big screen like crazy right now, especially with a lot of these summer movies. We have This Is the End is coming out this weekend again in theaters. We just had Star Trek Into Darkness of World War Z in theaters. I could see August 1st, R-rated 50 Shades of Grey comes out, and then a month later, you know, what if – oh, we have an unrated cut we're putting in theaters. It's NC-17. Okay. I think it would be unprecedented. It would be really interesting to see. Right? I mean, they could also drop it on the Blu-ray
right. And
use it as a selling tool. But I think this is the kind of film where you really want to have two cuts.
Yeah, I don't disagree with that. I think that that's fine. And I think but you are saying they're going to have to lead with an R first and then potentially lure you back in for the filthier stuff later.
I mean, it would – if they went – if they attempted a wide nationwide release with an NC-17 rating, it would be pretty unprecedented. We haven't really seen something like that. So I mean, it would make for a story. It would make for one hell of a story. But do they need that story? You know, I think if their plan is to do the wide release on day one, because we don't know, they could do a platform, we don't know, I don't think they would, but they may. It's Focus Features, they're used to doing platform, they may do a platform release. But if they don't and they want to go wide from day one, I think you have to do the R-rated. But I would definitely shoot it for unrated. I would shoot the hell out of this thing.
Well,
and give the, you know, this way fans, you'll give the fans who want it, you'll give it to them. You know, but at the same time, you really want to try to create a movie that's a movie and not a porn. So you have to find that right balance. I don't envy these filmmakers because they have to service the fans, but then they also have to make a movie that's worth four movies, that's worth going to the theater and seeing as a movie and not feel like I'm just watching people have sex for 2 hours.
Well, but all of a sudden, 50 Shades of Grey just feels more like a movie that's actually coming. You know, it has people in place that we can point to and say they are playing these actors, and you can start to visualize it. If you want to go back and pick up your well-read copy, you know, and thumb through it and now picture the actors in their lead roles, try and wrap your brain around that. It feels a little more tangible than it did at the beginning of the weekend. And who drops major casting news like this on Labor Day? Studios, can you please wait till everybody's sitting back at their desk and not have to pull people away from their barbecues to cover 50 Shades of Grey casting? Because it's kind of annoying.
It's hard to cover on a holiday. I know I was ripped away from a barbecue yesterday to cover this, but it's an exciting story, and I'm curious to see what they do with this film. It's a little bit different than anything we've seen. You know what? It's so weird. It feels like an older version of Twilight without the vampires. I feel like I'm living the whole Twilight thing again. And it's funny because this started out as Twilight fan fiction.
Yes,
apparently. But, you know, it feels like a more mature, more adult version of that sort of hype, you know, around these two men and women, you know, a relationship, these roles. And I'm interested to see where it goes. I'm interested to see if they can turn it into a franchise. And it could be the sexiest franchise that's ever been. You know, and there's a lot of work they need to do. I mean, one of my last questions for you, do you think that they need to get out stuff, either footage or images, sooner rather than later?
No, I don't think so. This is one of those projects where, you know, the fans know the material. And I even think, here's the thing. I got a phone call this morning from my own mother, who's 75 years old. And we talked about a couple other topics. And by the end of it, she was like, what have you heard about this movie, 50 Shades of Grey? So, and that just blew my mind, because
you were like, Mom, I don't want to know.
Wasn't ready to have that conversation.
I don't want to know where that knowledge comes from, Mom.
But it has permeated her universe, is what I'm trying to say to you. So no, I don't think they have to do much. And you know, she doesn't know a lot about movies at all, doesn't pay attention to that at all. But it has at least crossed her news programs, and so she's aware of it. And I think that that awareness is already powering this film. And you know, I'm always a big proponent. I've said this on the podcast about other films. I'd rather, when a movie knows that they have something, you know, that already has a built-in fan base, already has built-in awareness, that they hide as much as they can, so that you get that experience when you sit down for the first time in the theater. I mean, obviously, we're going to see trailers for this, we're going to see clips. But I think that now that we know who the leads are, you know, folks can quiet down a little bit. They can back off a little bit. They can let everybody know, those are your leads. Here's going to be playing these semi-iconic characters. And now let us do our job, and we'll be back with the movie when we're ready for it, and you guys will all show up for it.
Are we seeing a 50 Shades of Grey Super Bowl commercial?
Yeah.
Yeah, really? You think?
Sure, because, I mean, half the audience watching is female also, right? And, yeah, why not? I'd say be bold and put a really steamy, you know, trailer down for the Super Bowl, and then 90% of the guys watching it would be like, oh, I want to go see that. What is this all about? So, yeah, why not? I think that's a great move.
Last question, you know, Focus Features,
that's
of course.
That's a good one.
Focus Features, of course, is tied to Universal. Universal isn't distributing it. The Focus Features is distributing it, but they are tied to Universal.
Okay.
Do we ever see a crossover movie between the Fast and Furious franchise and 50 Shades of Grey?
I'm glad you went that direction, because what I feared you were going to go is like a theme park at Universal in Orlando.
That would be interesting.
The 50 Shades of Grey ride.
You know what? You know what, though? I mean, you know, you bring up an interesting topic, because I am curious to see. I remember when this book came out, like a bunch of hotels would have like 50 Shades of Grey packages. And, you know, I'm really curious to see the marketing on this movie. Like, where do they take it? Do they play with it? Do they have fun with it? Do they kind of you know, go that route and create sort of packages that allow you to experience the film in different ways? I mean, you know, a lot of people kind of roll their eyes. A lot of guys roll their eyes at 50 Shades of Grey. And, you know, I have to say, if you're married, if you're a guy who's married and your wife is interested in reading this book, I wouldn't be rolling your eyes, because – you know, let's just say the aftermath may benefit you in some ways. You know,
To answer your initial question, do I think that they'll get Vin Diesel involved by the second or third movie? Yes. The answer is yes, just because I know he's game for it. He'll show up in anything. And why wouldn't you add him to your franchise?
Yeah, you know, and I'm interested to see if they color. You know, there are some supporting characters of 50 Shades of Grey that aren't as instrumental as these two. And I'm curious to see if they color this cast with some more well-known prolific actors, sort of the way, you know, the young adult adaptations have done. You know, I feel like they've kind of cast up-and-comers in their main roles, but then they've colored the background with very well-known people. You look at Hunger Games, you look at the Harry Potter movies. So I'm curious to see if they do that with this film, if they take that strategy.
Well, the ball is rolling, and we're working towards – it's a 2014 release. Is that correct?
It's August 1st, 2014. It's coming out opposite Guardians of the Galaxy, the Marvel movie. So while your kids are watching the big Marvel movie, you can sneak over. And I wonder if there's going to be some kids coming out of Guardians of the Galaxy next door seeing 50 Shades of Grey, going to be like, yeah, let me sneak into this one. Yeah, I wonder how many kids are going to be sneaking into this film.
In 9 months from August 1st, 2014, there's going to be a lot of Anastasias and Christians being born
Yeah, you know what? I like it, though. I think anything that kind of helps reawaken that side of you and helps you kind of experience things that maybe you may be a little shy or a little bit turned off from. You know, I remember when Basic Instinct came out and it was this huge kind of sexual revolution around that film. It was a little bit darker and nastier, I think, than this is going to be. But I like these kinds of films, and I like when they come around, and I think they kind of give us a chance to explore our sensual sides.
Now I want to see Paul Verhoeven's version of 50 Shades of Grey. Thanks for putting that in my head.
I would love to see that. Somebody will cut it up on YouTube.
Yes.
Short O'Connell. We are both getting on a flight to Toronto tomorrow for the Toronto Film Festival. We're going to come back later this week and talk more about the Toronto Film Festival exactly, you know, as well as in some of the films that are there, and let you know what's going on there. But I would like to leave you that there is already a petition. Yes. For 50 Shades of Grey. So remember to circle back to say comparing it to Ben Affleck. I remember a half hour after Ben Affleck got Batman, there were petitions everywhere. People were petitioning Obama
to remove him.
Right. The first 50 Shades of Grey petitions are arriving online.
Well, to what? To remove the actors?
To remove the actors. Oh, yes, God. Yes. We have there is a change.org petition. Oh. So people are petitioning Obama to remove the actors on 50 Shades of Grey. This is what people who don't have anything to do with
right, because we don't have problems in Syria. We don't have, you know, Detroit's not bankrupt. We need to put all of our money and time and attention into the 50 Shades of Grey casting people.
Yes, apparently that the fans wanted other people like Matt Bomer from White Collar, Alexis Bidell of Gilmore Girls. You know, people had certain, you know, Henry Cavill's name is coming up. You know, I think a lot of people had this sort of image of these characters in their head from they read the books, and then they think that you need to cast based on their fantasy image. No, you have to cast on the chemistry of these two, because these two are going to get you a franchise. I've heard that they not only auditioned, but they also did a chemistry test with them. So you know what? Relax with your petitions. Trust the filmmakers.
Yes.
And go about your day knowing that this film is coming, and
you're going to love it. You're going to go and you're going to love it, and then, or you're going to gripe about it on Twitter after.
Exactly. Sean O'Connell, I wish you a safe trip to Toronto, and I look forward to meeting you there and talking about all of those films, because there are a lot of big films premiering there that are going to be up for awards, I think, later, you know, for the Oscars, Golden Globes. So pay attention to what we're doing at Toronto. We're going to have some coverage up on Fandango as well as movies.com. You can hit up both sites and see what we're doing. Sean?
Yes, sir.
Thank you very much. Have a safe flight.
You do the same, sir. I'll see you up there. Travel safe. Bring your passport with you. And we will talk to all of you folks listening to our wonderful podcast from Canada. And in the meantime, even though it's early in the week, go to the movies this weekend and enjoy your weekend at the movies.
Exactly. And Sean, make sure you don't forget your 50 Shades of Grey book for the plane.
Of course. Have it packed already.
Have a good week at the movies, everyone.